Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 474, Strong in the Lord. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, May 31st, 2026, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right, I have a question for you. Who would describe your, I guess, yourself in your walk with the Lord, in your walk with Jesus, as strong? One person. you would say, I'm strong. I'm strong in Christ. I'm strong in Jesus. A few not sure. Okay, well, we're gonna explore this topic today. The title of the message is Strong in the Lord. Who wants to be more strong in the Lord? Okay, there we go. That's a better question, right? But it's important. It's important for us because, I mean, Jesus died the death that he did on the cross so that we could have walk in victory, so that we could be strong, and so that we could walk in victory every day. And he's given us so many tools and the equipment and everything that we need. The word says for life and godliness, we've been given it. We have it. We have the power, resurrection power of Jesus on the inside of us. We have resurrection power. So we should feel strong. But of course, I mean, we're in a human body, right? And there's days that we don't feel strong physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that we don't feel strong. But so if I have the fullness of Christ living on the inside of me, you know, when I receive Jesus, and for all of you that have received Jesus, when you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you get the fullness of Christ. You get the Holy Spirit, right? And so that's full, and that should be super strong, like in all capital letters. But everything that we've been given, it's in seed form, right? And we have it on the inside of us. We have it in our spirit, and his Holy Spirit has consumed our spirit, right? I'm doing a little review. This is kind of, I believe, the last, unless God changes it up, this is the last message today in this series that we've done over several weeks, kind of here and there, on the Holy Spirit in us. So the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God lives inside of us, then we should be walking in strength every day, right? Amen. Right, we should, right? But how do we tap into more of that? It's about, and you hear this a lot, hopefully, I don't know, maybe it's good that it's a broken record because it's what the Word says, and we shouldn't be saying anything that's outside of the Word of God. We need to get our minds renewed, right? And as we renew our minds in the Word of God, in the truth of God, and what we have by faith, what we have in the spirit realm, what's been given to us as born again believers in Jesus, then what we have on the inside in our spirit, it comes out, right? And that's what we show. So we can walk with more strength, and we can walk in victory. Amen. Amen. That would be my desire for us as a church family, as a body, and as individuals, that we can truly be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might, like it says in Ephesians 6. Let's just start with that scripture, right? It says, this is a letter, of course, Paul writes to the Ephesians, and at the end, this is the last chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verse 10, and this whole section is awesome, and you can read that for homework this week, because then it goes on, after this verse, it goes on to tell all the armor that we have been given, that we have been equipped with, and this is one thing, as, you know, as a set, a group of armor, one of the things that we've been given by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, to equip us so that we can walk in victory, right? And so it says a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So being strong in the Lord, it doesn't mean that you have all the answers all the time. It's not that you're Susie Know-It-All and I got it together, right? Being strong in the Lord doesn't mean that that you never have a struggle. Amen. Right? Because you can be, you can have lots of struggles, and there's many people in the Word, in the Scriptures that you could think of that they, you would say they were strong in the Lord. David, right? King David, he was strong, right? But he had some struggles. He went through some struggles, struggles of the flesh, right? Because we live in a fleshly, earthly, carnal world, a body, really. And so we've got to figure out how we can work with the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us to conquer the flesh. So being strong in the Lord doesn't mean that we never have a struggle, or it doesn't mean that we have all the answers all the time. But being strong in the Lord, it does mean that we know who we can go to. It means that being strong in the Lord means that we can go to the Lord. We run to Him. We refuge in Him for strength, for answers, for wisdom, for peace, for all of it, right? And so it means that being strong in the Lord means that we get to choose every day. We wake up and choose. Am I going to obey the flesh, or am I going to obey the Spirit of the living God that lives on the inside of me? And right there, depending on, you know, your first choices and all the choices throughout the day, that'll determine the strength meter. If we had a meter, you know, measuring the strength. Well, if you're going to choose all the choices, if you're going to lean toward the flesh and letting the flesh lead you, that strength meter is going to be low, right? I guess from you guys looking, it would be this is zero, this is over on the other side is whatever, 10 or 100, right? And so, and as you choose to yield yourself to the Word of God, to the Holy Spirit, right? That strength meter is going to be higher, right? I'm so visual. I just get these pictures. All right. Hope that helps somebody. So we run to Him, right? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. He is our safety. He is our refuge. He is the one who makes us strong. So being strong in the Lord also means that we have to stay open and stay teachable, right? Stay humble. Yielding in a, you know, we have to be sensitive to hear His voice in order to then yield to it and yield our flesh and say, flesh, you don't get to decide right now. The chocolate's going to wait. I'm going to go seek the Lord. I'm fasting today. You know, whatever. That's a real example in my world. Okay. So praise the Lord. So, but Paul says to the Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Aren't you thankful that we don't have to just muster up the strength in ourselves? We don't have to strive. We don't have to figure it out. We can be strong in Him. We can lean back on the strong one that's behind us. He's behind each of you, backing you up. He is your strength, and He lives inside of you. He's all around you. Praise God. So there's an example in Scripture that I want to unpack today. And it's King Jehoshaphat. I don't know if I'm saying, I've heard it said Jehoshaphat, however you say it, tomato, tomato. We'll go with Jehoshaphat. Okay, because that's how I've heard it more often than not spoken. So King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, you can turn there. My mind is blessed. You can turn there as I'm giving a little context here, because there's some keys that we're going to pull out of this story about being strong in the Lord. And how did King Jehoshaphat show strength? Well, we'll get there to the keys. We're going to look at what he did in the face of struggles, in the face of adversity, in the face of difficulty. What did he do? Because, hey, we can model after that. We can take the principles out of this story from the Old Testament, and we can learn in ourselves how to surrender to the Spirit of God and to put the flesh behind and to walk in strength and all the things that you're going to see that he did. So King Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of Judah, and he was King Asa's son. And for the most part, King Jehoshaphat was a good king. He did things well. There was a few things. I mean, a few things that he didn't do well, and one of them was, or maybe this is the main thing that, critique of his reign was that he didn't take all the high places down. So left some of the like Asherah poles and the forms of idolatry worship, he left those up. But for the most part, he was a good king, right? And so certainly what we see in this account, how he dealt with this problem and this adversity, he was showing strength. Good job, King Jehoshaphat. His strength meter was going high because he was basing himself in the Lord and showing strength. So are you ready? We're going to jump in. Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray. Let's do that first. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you in this place. We thank you. We thank you that we have you to rely on. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to you because when we do, that's when we're strong. Because you are the strength in us and through us, all around us, behind us. And we give you praise today for your word. We thank you, God, that we have the freedom to speak about your word and open our Bibles. We are so blessed to have so many versions and ways to access your word. Father, let it go deep into our hearts today. And I trust, Holy Spirit, that you will minister to each heart and each life the truth that we need. Father, that you would nourish us from your word, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would know you more, and we thank you for it. Take this word today and transform our lives, God, as we begin to yield to it and as we begin to put it into practice. We don't want to just be hearers of the word only, but we want to be doers of the word. We want to apply what we learn, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you help us, that you lead us, that you guide us, that you speak to us, and that you cheer us on through it, saying, don't give up, keep going, keep walking. And we thank you. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, praise God. So, 2 Chronicles 20. You can turn there. 2 Chronicles 20, starting at the top, verse 1. We'll just take it little chunks at a time and then unpack it a bit and talk about it. Looking at keys on how to be strong in the Lord. Teach us, King Jehoshaphat. After this, verse 1, 2 Chronicles 20. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Uh-oh, there's a problem right there. They're coming against him. Okay, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is, En-Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, if I were to ask you to point to or name some things, you can just look at it for a minute. You don't have to call it out or anything. But you can see some things in those first four verses that you know I'm going to talk about, right? That are keys for being strong in the Lord. How did King Jehoshaphat, when all of these ite tribes, these ites came against him, right? The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Midianites, they were coming against him, coming against Judah for battle. right? And they told him. Now, you got to be careful when people tell you something. Is that the truth or not, right? In this case, it was. But you know that the devil loves to intimidate by telling you falsehoods, by telling you lies, right? And they could have just come to him and said, hey, there's all these other armies coming against you, you know, because spreading rumors, the devil loves to do that, spreading rumors, and in order to intimidate people, right? And so this news, it was true. This was what was happening. That could be cause for what? Hey, there's all these armies coming against you.
Fear.
Fear, right. Panic, right? Crisis mode. Oh my gosh. Like, ah! Okay? There's people coming against, like armies coming against. Look out for the ites because they're on their way to us, right? Could be cause for panic, despair, fear, like freaking out. Do you ever feel like that?
Occasionally,
right? But we're strong in the Lord. Show us how to be strong, Lord, when armies are coming against us, when there's adversity or, yeah, adversity problems coming against us, how we respond to what is happening and what is told us and how we respond to those feelings, because our natural human mode default is fear, panic, right? But how we respond to it counts. You can have a flesh response to fear in this case. Flesh response that I like acted out, panic, right? Everybody stay calm, but you're not calm at all, right? But King Jehoshaphat chose to do two important things. It said he set his face to seek the Lord. That was the first thing that he did well, right? That he did and that he did well. He set his face, despite the fear and of the news of these armies coming against him, he set his face to seek the Lord. That sounds more like not a flesh response to me, because the flesh probably had to be checked there in a moment, right? From the fear. But it sounds like a spirit response. That's the other choice that we have. A spirit response, or like spirit, Holy Spirit response is better said. He turned the fear around when he looked at God, right? Like, back up, fear, I'm choosing God. I'm going to set my face to seek God. So key number one, how to be strong in the Lord, seek God, like King Jehoshaphat did. We must surrender our flesh, right? That's our emotions, that's our logic, that's our intellect, all of that. Surrender that. All the information that we take in with our five senses, we surrender it. We yield it to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to seek you. Now, this requires what? A few things. It requires humility, right? Faith, like knowing that God is there and that he's got me, and I don't have to rely on myself. I can rely on God. Praise God. And the other thing that they did, it's part of seeking God. King Jehoshaphat led everyone to fast. Fasting is a great way to seek God. It's a great way to get the flesh out of the way and to yield yourself really to the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. So fasting isn't about putting God under pressure or anything like this to get the outcome that you want, but it's about you surrendering your flesh, yourself, to be, so that you can be more sensitive to the Spirit that it lives inside of you, and the Spirit of God that wants to speak to you and lead you and guide you. So when you feel like, metaphorically or spiritually, that there's an army or many armies of the ites coming against you, don't panic, right? Do what King Jehoshaphat did. Seek the Lord. Set your face to seek the Lord and fast. Fast for God's voice, for God's direction in your life. He did that. King Jehoshaphat, verse 4, it says he led the people to do that, and they followed. Praise God. The whole nation came together in unity to seek help from God. Now, that is awesome. What if as a nation, we all did that? When there's crisis, we fasted to seek God, to yield to the Spirit of God in us as believers. Now, that would be awesome. Psalm 33, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Right? And we could say, blessed is the person whose God is the Lord, or blessed is the family whose God is the Lord, right? And you are of influence in your workplace, in your family, you know, in your neighborhood. Lead people. You can lead people when you choose not the flesh response, but you choose the Holy Spirit response. Hey, this is a little scary, but I'm going to seek God. I'm not sure what to do. This is coming against me. I'm going to seek God. We're going to seek God. Lead your family that way. Lead your co-workers that way. We can do it. And that is a sign of strength. Not relying on your own strength, because, hey, I don't have the answers how to fight the ites coming against me. But God does, and he lives inside of me. Praise the Lord. All right, let's keep going. Verse 5. So 2 Chronicles 20, we stopped at verse 5. "And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, 'O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit." Verse 12, "Oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Wow, that is powerful. That is powerful. So here we see, starting at verse 5 and all of this account that I just read up to through verse 12, King Jehoshaphat is praying, right? He's expressing his faith out to God. He's saying out loud the testimony of what God has done before. And this is another key for us of being strong in the Lord. Here's the key. Magnify the Lord. He was magnifying the Lord, recounting what the Lord had done. What if in his prayer he was telling God all the problem? What would he have been magnifying? Oh God, all the Ammonites and the Munites and the other ites, they're all coming against us, and they're strong and it's powerful and it's looking bad, God. It's looking real bad. We're just little puny, you know, oh my gosh. How would that be different? Right? So different what he prayed. Oh God, the God of our fathers who did this and did that in the past. You opened a way. You saved them and you will save us. He's proclaiming from the past what God did for them, how he saved them, how he came through, and what he will do in the future, because he's trusting in the strength, in the power of God, backing them up. And that's faith. And that encourages me just to hear that, right? He's magnifying the Lord, not the problem. And this is what we need to do in general when we're thinking about these situations and like in prayer. In this case, he was praying, right? So in prayer, we shouldn't be magnifying the problem. We shouldn't be telling, God knows the problem. God sees what's happening. God sees what's coming against us, right? But let us rise up in faith, magnify God, magnify who he is. You know what? And God knows who he is. He knows his strength. It's for us. It's for us to hear. And it's so powerful when we can recount and say and list out, God, you came through for me before. You did this and you did that and you opened a way and you provided when I didn't have any money. You gave me a job. You put me with the right people. You got me here. You got me there. You did that. And it is encouraging when you hear your own story, your own testimony, and you think, I mean, it encourages me when I'm, you know, in cell group or whatever, and I get to have an opportunity to share a testimony. It's like, yeah, that's what God did. That's my God. That's my God, right? Praise the Lord. And so we need to magnify God just in general about the situations that we're facing and certainly in prayer. Don't bother telling God when you're in prayer all the bad, all the negative. Lift up the name of God. Tell him who he is, because it's encouraging you. It's building your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word, right? So let's magnify the Lord. Let's point to his sovereignty, to his goodness, to his faithfulness, and not focus on the circumstances. Because when we do, our flesh will get overwhelmed and we get succumbed by fear and all the things that the flesh want to take us down the wrong road, a road that will lead us to weakness, not strength, right? And so I love, is it that last verse 12 when he says, I mean, he's stating truth here. He says, we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We don't know what to do. So he's not in denial here. He recognizes, right? He says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Right? So you may not know what to do. You may feel very small. You may feel powerless against whatever situation is trying to overpower you, but you don't have to succumb to it. You don't have to just lay out like a doormat and just let the enemy have a heyday. No, no, no. Right? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that's what King Jehoshaphat is doing here. He's lining himself and the people up to seek God, right? To fast. That was the key number one. And here to magnify the Lord, recounting what he has done, the goodness of how he's come through, his faithfulness in the past. And you know what? You did it before and you're going to do it again. Praise the Lord. And that will encourage you. Key three from that same section that we just read, being strong, how to be strong in the Lord. Stay focused on the Lord. And this again applies in general, just going daily, living your life. Stay focused on the Lord and in prayer. Right? This is a spirit-led response, like we're talking about, the spirit-led response versus a fleshly panic response. And if you can relate to this, you ever feel like there's a vast army coming against you or several, and you don't know what to do, you stay focused on the Lord. Like King Jehoshaphat leading the people in, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We're going to seek you. We're going to look for you because you are the strong one, not us. You know, and he acknowledged, he said, we're powerless against this enemy coming against us. The power is not in us, right? In any situation that we're facing, I'm powerless, but God. And that's the important thing. So key number two was magnify the Lord, recount what he does. Number three was stay focused on the Lord in prayer and in general. Do not veer your eyes off, right? Don't look at the wind and the waves like Peter, because then you begin to sink. Right? Stay focused on the Lord. Stay focused. And part of that is speak what he's speaking. So how's that situation going? I know that's been tough for you. Speak the word. Oh, it's looking worse. It's looking real bad. No. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I may not know what to do. You could say that, you know. Take his line, the last line of that prayer there in verse 12. I may not know what to do, but my eyes are on God. I'm waiting on God. And I will renew my strength, praise the Lord, in him. All right, let's keep going. Verse 13 then, 2 Chronicles 20. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said to them, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. I repeat, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. That can be a little saying that we can say to ourselves. There's a tendency, right? Like we talked about, panic. When there's fear, there can be that tendency. What? You stay? The tendency of the flesh, when there's fear, something coming at you, and fear then is staring you at the face, the fleshly response is to flee. It's to run. It's to get out of there, right? But this stood out to me from verse 13, that they didn't run, they didn't flee. It says, meanwhile, all Judah, the whole nation was assembled there. It said, they stood before the Lord. Yeah, they were facing some fear, but they chose to stand. They stood there. So that's key number four. Stand before the Lord. Don't take off running. Don't flee with your tail between your legs, scared. Ah, panic. No, stand strong. Stand before the Lord and wait on him. And that's what they did. That's what King Jehoshaphat led them all to do, right? They're seeking God, but there they are, all assembled. They're in unity. They were waiting on God. What do you say, God? Our eyes are on you because we don't know what to do. Don't make a move until he speaks. You know, when there's fear coming against you, there's situations and the emotions are threatening to take over. is not the time to make a decision. That's the time to seek God, right? So don't flee in terror, but stand before the Lord and wait to hear the voice of God. That will be strength to us. You know, sometimes in a crisis, it's like, it feels so urgent. It feels like, I gotta do something. Well, you gotta listen to God, right? And if you panic gets you in this mode of just, okay, I'll just do whatever, and you do some careless thing, that's not using wisdom, right? Because you just respond in the flesh then. Stand before the Lord, knowing that he's with you, knowing that he's backing you up, and wait to hear his voice. So that's what they did. They yielded. This is the other key here. Key number five. They yielded to the voice, right? They yielded to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the voice of God. So God used, what was the name? God used Jehaziel, right? It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, right? And so God's going to use those around you that are surrendered to Christ in their life, right? To perhaps speak into your situation. That's one of the ways. I mean, he can speak directly to your heart and praise God, but sometimes he speaks through people, right? Maybe somebody that you've given authority in your life to speak into your life, like discipleship, a disciple maker, cell group leader, or something like that, right? So yield to the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. And first and foremost, to God's voice. What is he saying to you? Not what your flesh is leading you to do. What is the voice of God saying? So you have to stand, that's first. You've got to stand to hear and wait. Wait on the Lord, right? He who waits on the Lord will renew his strength. So the Lord speaks through this Jehaziel, right, to give encouragement. And he says to the people, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at the great horde coming against the great multitude coming against you. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's, right? Like God's got this. Think of your hard situation that you don't know the way out and you don't know the answer right now. And think about that. Apply that truth that, where'd it go? What did he say? He said, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the battle is not yours, it's God. Doesn't that just take a load off? It's not your battle. It's God's battle. Let him do it. You position yourself to hear God. Stand before him. God, I'm your child. You love me immensely, and I'm not going to run and flee in terror. I'm going to stand and I'm going to listen for your voice. I'm setting my face to seek you, and I'm going to be strong as I do it. And you're going to speak. And you're going to speak through the gifts of the Spirit in my life, it's not my ability, but the Holy Spirit allows me to hear his voice. It might be through to my own heart. It might be when I'm reading the Word. Hello, God's instruction manual to us, right? Or it might be through another person. He uses all kinds of ways to speak to us. And that's another message. But let's yield to the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, however he chooses to do it. And he used this Jehaziel to say that to them. So don't be afraid. So then as you get however the word comes, whatever the source of the word is, stand, continue to stand, like it says later in Ephesians 6. And when you've done all to stand, stand. Stand your ground. You stand on that word. You meditate on the word that was spoken. You let it nourish and satisfy you. I know of ministers that talk about collecting all the words that they receive, whether for themselves or like prophetic words, and they have a binder or they have them somewhere in a notebook, and they go over those regularly. They read them. Those are the words that God has spoken. That's your destiny. Don't let your fate, your future be determined by the fear, by the flesh, by the things that want to try to take you out and take you off rail. Like Sister Elizabeth was talking about, all the enemy's going to use all kinds of things to try to distract you and to get you off track. Stay focused. What has the Lord spoken to you? Get his voice. Get his word if you don't have one, and then get other words and meditate on them. Read those over. Declare those. You can, like Jehoshaphat, his prayer, "Oh God, you did this." You can say, "Oh God, you said this. This is what you said to me, and you gave me that dream, and you told so-and-so, you said this, and you said that." Record them. If they're in a recording form, listen to them, right? Like somebody starts to prophesy over you, hit record. Tell your friend, hit record. Record this for me, right? Mm-hmm. Meditate on those. Meditate on the voice, the word of God, what he says to you. Praise the Lord. All right, so that's number 5. Did you get it? Yield to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the voice of God. Let's move on. We got a few more. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 18. Are you with me? You're awake? Okay, good. So then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. Okay. We're going to point out two different keys with this. So verse 18 that we first read, it says, King Jehoshaphat, he bowed with his face to the ground. What reverence, right? What worship to the Lord. Our response, especially after, this was after hearing, they were standing and waiting before the Lord, ready to hear his voice. The Lord spoke through this prophet, right, through Jehaziel, and then they heard God's voice, and then what did they do? They worshiped. They bowed down on their faces and worshiped God. They were thanking him. Our response should be reverence, holy fear. Bow to King Jesus for speaking into your heart and into your life. Worship should follow us communing with God, being intimate with God, reading his word and having him speak to your heart. I mean, there's nothing better. And I tell the Lord, "I love it when you speak to my heart and I get it." You know, it's like you just melt my heart. It's the best voice that we could ever hear, right? And so worship the Lord. And then it says, verse 19, the Levites, they were the praisers. They were the worship team. They were the praise team. They praise God with a very loud voice. So, and then it says that Jehoshaphat appointed people, these guys, to sing and praise God out in front of the army. The praisers, the worship team, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." These were the ones that were leading in front of the army. Is worship is what is leading you? Is singing praise to God even when you feel like there's an army coming against you and there's a situation that is challenging in your life, is your response to "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul"? Put the spirit of praise out in front. Let the praise inside of you lead the ship, lead the train, right? I'm trying to think of another song, but that's the one that's coming to me. So praise God. Whatever song it is, make up your own song. That will be strength to you in the joy of the Lord. That's where your strength is. Put the praise out in front. Let that lead you. Praise God. So how to be strong in the Lord? Worship the Lord, right? And we saw that through them falling prostrate on the ground to worship and give reverence to God. And then with the praisers out in front. And what happened? When they began to do that, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against their enemies. Hallelujah. Chains break. We know the story in Acts 16, right? When they're praising in the Paul and Silas are locked up in the prison and they start singing and they're praising at midnight after they've been flogged and beaten and they're bloody and all the things, right? Talk about not yielding to the flesh. They sang praises to God. Their focus was on God. And what happened there? Chains broke, right? Deliverance, praise God. Freedom, hallelujah. And so when that is can be the reality and what happens in our lives when we worship through it, put the praise, leading the charge. Praise your way through it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Worship brings deliverance. It's good. Hallelujah. Sing a song unto the Lord and watch him do mighty miracles for you. Don't be moved. Don't be shaken. That's part of I'm going to worship, even though this is hard and this is difficult. I'm going to worship my way through it. All right. So that was what? Number six. We're on to number seven. Key number seven for all you note takers out there. A few of you. Okay. Number seven, that was in this section that we just read too, how to be strong in the Lord. Take action and obey. They did what the Lord instructed them to do, right? In other words, you know, they were facing maybe an impossible situation, but they went out to meet it. They went out, they positioned themselves like he said to, and then God did the rest, right? He set an ambush. Confidently trust God. Trust God and watch the victory unfold before your eyes. Praise the Lord. Hello, are we awake?
Yes.
We're okay?
Yes.
All right. Let's move on. Second Chronicles, what chapter are we? Quiz?
20.
Okay, verse 23. Yep, I heard 23. Chapter 20, verse 23. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. Huh, that made it easy. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies laying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Beraka, and there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Beraka to this day. Then they returned, verse 27, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for the Lord, for his God gave him rest all around. That's a good ending. It was quiet. In other words, peace, rest. The enemies were no more, right? So back at the top of that verse 23, the top of that section, the enemy forces, they all entered into confusion, didn't they? Don't you love when that happens? The enemies fighting each other, confusion, and they were destroying each other. They were destroyed. And the spoil, what they got, all the, you know, all the stuff, the riches, the treasure, the things, was so great they couldn't carry it. Took them how many days?
3 days
to collect it all. Wow. All right, so here's a key in this. Be strong, how to be strong in the Lord. Expect blessing. Expect spoil. Now, this is the old times of armies coming against each other and you go away with spoil. And that doesn't really happen today, right? But we could say spiritual spoil, or maybe you materially get blessed somehow through the outcome of the battle. When the enemy, when God confuses the plans of the enemy and you see that they destroy each other and you get out, you go away with blessing. Hallelujah. Whatever form that blessing takes in your life, we should expect blessing because God is good and he's on your side and he wants to bless you. Right? And if you've positioned yourself and you've sought the Lord and you've done all these things, then God's going to come through for you and he's going to bless you over the top 3 days of collecting the spoil because it was, you know, it was so much. Blessing comes when we honor God, when we obey and we do what he says to do and we position ourselves in that way of strength, right? So when we're obeying God and we honor him, blessing comes to our lives, right? Doing it his way. Your way is better. Any Forrest Frank fans out there? His way is better. Praise God, my son. Okay. And they gave God the credit that was due, right? They assembled then and they blessed the Lord. They praised God. They gave the credit due that was due only to God for what he did. And it says they returned to Jerusalem with joy, for they made the Lord made them rejoice over their enemies. Don't you want to be rejoicing over your enemies? Praise God, right? Like he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Your enemies are sitting there watching you be blessed and eat and feast at the table of the Lord because he's come through for you because you listened, you positioned yourself, you honored God, you sought God, you did it his way, not just the flesh way, and God is blessing you over the top. We get the good end of the deal, right? Praise God. That's awesome. And the result is rest, it's peace. And that will be the result in your situation. Meditate on that. You know, just that one phrase, that one last scripture, you know, where it says, God gave him rest all around. The realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. I think of the verse that says, like, believers will live a quiet and peaceful life. When you're positioned with the Lord, you're doing things his way, you're yielding to him, you'll be in peace. Praise God. It doesn't mean that you won't have a battle, right? But he will lead you through it like he did Judah and using King Jehoshaphat to lead the charge. So we can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want to just mention another tool that's really powerful for our lives, and that is our Holy Spirit prayer language. And I think probably I know that we could all take up this weapon more. We could use this tool more in our lives. It's probably way underused, right? Is us building ourselves up in our most holy faith, the word says. Praying in the spirit language. That's one of the ways that we're going to wait on God. That's one of the ways that we're going to get our flesh out of the way and our mind out of the way. And that's sometimes an obstacle when you're praying in tongues, especially for longer periods of time. You know, when you start to get 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, half an hour, your mind is like, what am I saying anyway? This is like a waste of time or whatever. No, because your spirit is connecting to the spirit of God, right? And the answer will come. You don't know how it'll come. It'll come. It will come. You may think of something right then and there and pray out in English, and you realize God's leading me, right? Maybe it's later in the day. Let's say you wake up and you pray in the Spirit, spend some time with the Lord, and you pray in the Spirit to start off your day. Later, you know, a friend comes and they're telling you about a situation and they're in crisis, and you get a download. Maybe that download was given to you in the morning and you prayed that out in the Spirit and you didn't know, but you were getting ready. You were receiving it, right? You had it. Your spirit had it. And when you needed it, you had that deposit to your friend. Praise the Lord. He's using you as a vessel. And for your own life as well. It's such a powerful tool. Pray in the Spirit, right? Romans 8:26 tells us this. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We're talking about strength, right? And being strong in the Lord. Well, the Holy Spirit is going to help us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I love it that the Spirit of God intercedes for me. Praise God. So if we run to him when we feel weak and we, you know, feel like we don't have the answers, we can overcome flesh. We can overcome sin. You're struggling with sin, like a repetitive sin that you just feel like you can't get out of the cycle. Well, come up for deliverance is one. But pray in the Spirit. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Build yourself up in the Spirit because he makes us strong, right? Praise the Lord. I could tell you, you know, so many different situations and scenarios when somebody cuts you off in traffic and you want to just pray in the Spirit, right? A battle with a friend or your spouse and you're triggered, you know, pray in the Spirit. Praise God. Because he makes you strong, right? When you're tempted by whatever thing, pray in the Spirit. He makes you strong. All right. In general, when you exalt the name of Jesus, you lift up him, you look to him, you seek him above your feelings, above the circumstances, above what is going on, you are doing what? You're exercising your spirit, right? You're putting the flesh, the intellect, the logic, the mind, all that on the back burner. And you're saying, my spirit is in control here. My spirit, led by the Spirit of God, is what is going to lead the show. And that is important. And that will bring strength. That will produce strength. And you're choosing, when you do that, to lift up the name of Jesus, you're choosing to say, Jesus, you're on the throne. You're on the throne of my heart. You're on the throne of my life. So that it's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just when you sing a worship song, but tomorrow, Monday, at work, when a situation happens and whatever. No, Jesus, you're on the throne of my heart, right? And you determine to keep Jesus your focus. The other, just, and I'm landing the plane soon here. The other thing I think is so important is how we speak. And we talk about this a lot. How do we speak? How do you speak, Sarah? I'm preaching to myself, guys, okay? And we can all come up higher. We need to speak life. We need to speak strength. We need to speak what the word is saying, right? Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. So you're feeling weak? You don't go around saying, I'm weak. Oh, this, I'm tired. I'm sick. I'm this. I'm strong. I call myself strong. I call my body strong. If you're having a particular health issue or body part issue, I call my knees strong. I call my hips strong. I call my immune system strong. You know, whatever it is, whatever part of you is feeling weak. My emotions, I'm strong in my emotions, right? Whatever part of you it is that you are feeling weak, Joel says, let the weak say, I am
strong.
Strong. So are we going to say, I'm lousy. I'm a hot mess. Oh, that phrase. Get that out of your vocabulary. You shouldn't be going around saying I'm a hot mess. Yeah, it sounds kind of fun, but no, it's not. It's not fun, right? We want the life of Jesus. We want the strength of Jesus, and that's where we need to position ourselves, and that's what we need to be saying. Praise God. There's so many verses about strength in the Bible and being strong in the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 1, I'll just give you a few. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, or the strength, some versions say, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So take that one and turn it into a declaration for yourself. The Lord is the strength of my life. Again, the Lord is the strength of my life. Do it with me. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life, right? And say it in different ways. He makes me strong. He makes me strong. God makes me strong. I am strong. He fills me with strength, right? We need to speak life. We need to speak strength. Praise God. He is the God who makes me strong. Who is he? He is the God who makes me strong, right? That's just one verse. Psalm 18, I just love. Psalm 18, verse 1 says, I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, Lord, my strength, right? I love you, Lord, my strength. What's the other one? Psalm 18, verse 32, God arms me with strength and he makes my way perfect, right? God arms me with strength. He makes my way perfect. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. And, you know, we could go back to, I guess I didn't make a declaration out of it, but Ephesians 6:10. And we did this with the last disciple makers training. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might, right? I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong. Just say that. Yeah, you can keep going. That's all right. Let's just do it. Let's just practice for a minute together. I am strong. I am strong. You can say it with me at the same time, okay? I am strong. I am strong. I am strong. I'm strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I am strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I call my body strong. My body is strong because I'm in the Lord. It's his mighty power working through me, right? This is how I'm just modeling for you, how you take a verse and turn it into a declaration for yourself and meditate on that and do that over and over. And it's not just a one day, you know, the next day and the next day, and you'll find yourself getting stronger. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, let's just review here. That we, like Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, we can choose strength. We can walk in daily victory and the strength of the Lord when we respond with God, right? When we respond by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us instead of the flesh. So here's the review of the keys if you missed one. Key number one, how to be strong in the Lord. Seek God. Two, magnify the Lord, right? And recount what he has done. Number three, stay focused on the Lord. Number four is stand before the Lord and wait on him. Number five of how to be strong in the Lord is yield to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and yield to the voice of God. Key number six, worship the Lord. Because big things happen when we worship the Lord, right? Through our trials. Number seven, take action and obey. And number eight, expect abundant blessing. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Praise God. Thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you are the strong one. We don't have to be strong. Well, we're strong when we're in you. But us, just by ourselves, in our own flesh, we are not strong. We are powerless. But in you, in Christ, we are strong. And I just declare that over those here, those watching on social media, those listening later to the podcast recording, that you are strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. It's the strength of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ on the inside of you that makes you strong. So stand. Don't run and flee when fear or an army comes against you. Stand. Seek God. Put the word into practice in your life. Speak in your prayer language. Build yourself up. Stand in strength. Worship the Lord. Wait for His voice in your life. Obey what He says to do. And we will walk in victory. We will walk in strength. We thank you, God, that you've done the heavy lifting. You do the hard stuff in our lives, and we just need to obey and align up to your word. We can cooperate with you, and we can walk through to freedom. We can walk through in strength and in your power. It's your power living on the inside of us, and we thank you for that, God. I just bless each one, God. And that any situation that they are facing where they feel that they could relate to this of the kingdom of Judah, of where an army, feel like an army or adversity is coming against them, God, that you would raise them up in faith and by the power that lives inside of them. Thank you, God, for encouraging their heart today, because you are with them and you are for them, and that they can stand strong. They can speak life. They can speak the strength that we have through you. And I thank you for that, for encouraging each one of us. And I declare victory over the enemy in Jesus' name, victory over situations, victory over health issues in our bodies in Jesus' name, that we are strong because of you. We are strong because of the resurrection life that lives inside of us. And so I bless each one at the sound of my voice, and I bless our online social media listeners today, God. Thank you for making them strong, making them be a blessing so that they can receive blessing from you so that they pour out blessings to others. And I declare over them strength in the Lord and in your mighty power in their lives. And we thank you for it, God. We thank you that we will walk with our heads held high because you live inside of us and you shine. And we thank you for that, God. We bless you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for encouraging our hearts. Help us, Holy Spirit, to apply it, to do it, to speak life, to do these things that we talked about today. And we thank you, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.